today marks the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic in the early hours of the 15th of April in the North Atlantic Ocean back in 1912. Tony McMahon was brought up 500 metres from Mary Agatha Glynn, a Clare woman who incredibly survived the sinking of the Titanic. Tony has written a ballad about her, which he sang at the centenary commemoration in 2012. And to hear more about the story of Mary Agatha Glynn, I'm joined by Tony and also by his brother Paddy McCann. Tony and Paddy, a very good morning to both of you. Thanks very much for coming in.
Yeah.
Really appreciate your time in this, and really looking forward to hearing about the story of Mary Agatha Glynn. But I suppose maybe the best place to start is the Titanic itself. People so familiar with the legendary story, as I say, the ship that they said wouldn't be sunk, built in Belfast by Harland and Wolff, and on its maiden voyage hit that iceberg and led to Leo DiCaprio clinging desperately to a door in the Atlantic Ocean and dying. Everyone's familiar with the film as well. Obviously, the big issue was, aside from the iceberg, was that once it did, there wasn't enough lifeboats, nowhere near enough on the ship. But hundreds of people out of the just under 2,500 people did survive. Mary Agatha Glynn was one of them.
Mary Agatha Glynn was born in she was born in the next house to us, in to our old homestead place up in Slievenoor in near Flagmont. I don't know if you're familiar with where Flagmont is. And there's a lake up there, Loch Graney. It was actually the lake where Brian Merriman dreamt his dream to compose Court and Meownie, the Midnight Court. And apparently Mary Agatha Glynn was very familiar with rowing a boat out to the island on that lake, you know, so she would have been quite familiar with being on the water with boats and whatever, you know.
And this would prove to be fortuitous, and although she wasn't to know it later in life.
Certainly advantageous to her, you know. But in my case, I had never heard an awful lot about her. And then when I was invited to the commemoration in 2012, I was searching around for, you know, to see was there any ballads or anything to commemorate her, and I couldn't find anything, so I composed a ballad myself. I just based it basically on the story of her life, you know, because at that time, when people would be going away to America, there would be what was called an American wake. You'd be familiar with that, where the all
so this was a one way trip. Mary was on.
It was generally expected that the people that would go would not return, you know, and the neighbours would gather, as I put it in the ballad, and they would play music and whatever, you know, and dance and have a great big party, and then of course in the case of Mary Agatha Glynn, our father would have been at her party, you know, at that American wake, because he was quite an old man when we were born, and he would have been about 10 years older than Mary Agatha Glynn, and so he would have been very familiar with her, you know.
Okay, and so yeah. I mean, she was a young woman when she made that trip on the Titanic to emigrate to America.
I think she was only 19.
Only 19.
20, yeah. And you know, obviously, like, there was terrible heartbreak in Slievenoor when they got the news that that the Titanic had sunk, you know. And as I put in the ballot, like, they would have, in every house at that time, they would say the rosary, you know, whether it was a bad news or a thunderstorm or whatever, they would gather and say the rosary and whatever, you know, and I'm sure all that was done. So I just sort of composed the ballad around that sort of thing. And there's one line that I put in the ballad, or one couple of lines in the very last verse, that a lot of people have commented on and remarked. I just said, I'll finish her story in her native place, where the last time that girl felt her mother's embrace, you know, and people thought that was very, I suppose, sad, you know, and poignant. That, yeah.
And I suppose, Paddy, like, you know, as Tony mentioned in the wake, but when the news came of the sinking of the Titanic, obviously, didn't have mobile phones and social media back then. You couldn't get quick updates on who had survived and who hadn't. I'm sure they just thought her family thought they had lost her. But as Tony touched on, learning how to row, actually was advantageous because it was women and children first, obviously, as the Titanic was sinking. But it wasn't just a case of Mary Agatha making it onto one of the boats. She was rowing it.
She was, yeah. And she always carried a pinnef with her, like a nice pinnef with her. And she also was... the father used to talk about her, how active she was around when she was a young lady. When she had to, you know, your cows and calves and all that had to be put out onto like a pasture for the summer. And she used to herd, bring the cows in and do all the work and from horseback. And never used a saddle, just she'd spring off the ground and onto the horse's back and away she'd go then, you know, in a full gallop out the mountain to herd up the cattle and bring the cows in to be milked and all that. She was a very active lady and very close to her mother as well. Her mother and herself was very close. And she always idolised the mother. And she had sisters and brothers. And I had the pleasure of knowing her brother Billy, the youngest of the family. Myself and my younger sister used to go over to his house, clean, you know, he wasn't married. And we used to tidy up the house and we used to get what we call pocket money. A sixpenny bit was what you were paid for doing the... And we had to share that between us, so we had 3 pence each.
But you'd get all the tales about Mary Agatha, who eventually ended up living in Washington. But I'm sure as young fellas hearing about the Titanic and the fact that Billy's sister had survived, it must have been fascinating.
Oh, it was absolutely unclear. Like, it was the talk, the father said, they found out she survived, sure, I mean. But the mother was expecting her to come home and to come back and tell her all the story of how she survived and that. But she wrote a letter to her mother, and Tony states it in the song, "My feet are on land and here I will stay." She never wanted to return back, but she also wrote a letter to her mother explaining to her that she would, you know, forever and ever in her mind, she would never forget her, and, you know, that she would be attached to her same way.
It's very sad, though, isn't it? She never intended to return. And was that...
No.
Obviously, you couldn't hop, you know, back then it wasn't, travel wasn't as easy, shall we say, but was she, Tony, scarred by her experience in the Titanic? Obviously, she just didn't want to risk returning home?
Obviously, she was traumatised from the experience of... And I'm sure, you know, it must have been a horrendous experience, you know.
She must have been so brave as well. I can't imagine even now, at the age I'm at now, never mind 19, when you're on a ship and you see it sinking in the Atlantic, and personally speaking, I can't swim, having to take on the responsibility of trying to survive, but also row a boat and look after others and bring them to safety.
Yeah, it was a very courageous episode, you know, for someone to go through. Yeah, but she did state like that, having experienced that, she didn't want to ever risk being on a boat in water again, which is very understandable, you know. And of course, that time, you know, when you look back on it now, for young generations today, it's difficult to understand it, because, you know, you would imagine that maybe, you know, the option wasn't there at the time to jump on Aer Lingus or a Ryanair flight or something, and for her mother to go and see her even, you know, so
heartbreaking.
It must have been a horrendous experience for her mother not to be able to see her or comfort her or ever meet her again after that, you know. Oops. And to know that there were... But I suppose the good thing is that she lived her life and she went, she got to where she was intended to go, and raised a family. She married a man from Kerry, I believe, and they had a number of children, you know, so, yeah. But she died young. She died at 61. But it was an extraordinary life and an extraordinary experience.
And fully deserving of being commemorated in song. We're going to play the song in just a second. Have you, in terms of releasing it, can you share any plans on that?
Paddy is an accordion player, so we just put together a CD for kind of family and whatever. But in the future, I do intend to put it on another CD with the number. I've written a few other songs, you know. So
okay, we look forward to hearing that, and no doubt you'll be in with us chatting about that then. But we're going to play the song now. It's called The Ballad of Mary Agatha Glynn and Tony McMahon. Thank you for coming in and well done on writing it. And thank you as well, Paddy, for sharing your memories of what you heard of Mary over the years. So let's hear the song. Here is the Ballad of Mary Agatha Glynn.
Imagine the thoughts of a girl on the day on board the Titanic. She would sail far away. It was little she knew when she left from her door. She would walk into history when she left, leaving home. The neighbors all gathered. In tradition they share and they pray, asking God to take her in his care. By the fireside they're singing and they dance round the floor. There is sweet music ringing all around, she'll even know. And there's terrible news, the Titanic is lost. In cold icy waters, her lifeboats are tossed. There is grief and deep sorrow like never before. And the rosaries recited in such leaving all. Survivors are read on the shore. There'll be joy for the hearts that was broken before. Their prayers have been answered, for that list will declare Mary Agatha Glynn from the county of Clare. A letter she wrote to say, my feet are on land now, and here I will stay. You know that I love you, and for sure evermore, I will cherish my memories of my home, shall even know. A 100 years on, with pride we remember in story and song. On that voyage she was kind, and for others did care. In the face of disaster, her courage was rare. Some things never change with the passing of years. Her old home is still here. Birds sing in the trees. There are daisies and wildflowers like the ones that grew then, and were picked for her mother by that child Mary Glynn. I'll finish her story in her native place, where the last time that girl felt her mother's embrace. From heaven she looks down, and her spirit will soar o'er the hills round her old home, her own Cleven
Titanic Survivor, the Ballad of Mary Agatha Glynn there by Tony McMahon on Monday's Morning Focus.